Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. As a character comedian and actor, Steve Coogan has long been the darling of the British scene, but in recent years he's also made headway in Hollywood, popping up in films like Tropic Thunder. But for me, he will always be Alan Partridge, the foot-and-mouth chat show host and radio jock. Steve's out here for next week's comedy festival, and I caught up with him on the phone from Melbourne. Well, after quite a while on hold.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Last in a long string of interviews, I understand.
It is. So you've got like a final burst of energy.
I'm hoping so. I've just been on hold for a little while. I've got to say the hold music is the worst hold music I've ever heard. It's not, you know, it's supposed to be soothing. It's like you're about to be sort of interrogated by evil aliens or something like that.
Yeah, I think I'm sure they probably use it at Guantanamo Bay to soften people up.
Hey, look, you've just done a whole lot of interviews today. What's the most common question you've been asked today or recently?
Most common question. The most common question is, why are you doing live comedy? That's the most common question I've been asked. Why am I on the road, having done movies and TV and stuff, and having enough work to keep me from doing live stuff? Why have I gone back to doing live comedy? Is the most frequently asked question.
And what's the answer to that one, Steve?
The answer is because I wanted to is the simple answer, not because anyone was twisting my arm. In fact, I was the one who said to the promoter, "I want to go on the road again." And I have, you know, had other work I could be getting on with. There's writing to be done, and there are films and TV stuff to be. Projects to be moving forward or shooting or whatever. There's always a few things on the go simultaneously. I feel like spinning plates sometimes. But I missed going on the road for two reasons. One, I wanted to go back on the road because I thought I ought to. Because when you there's nowhere to hide when you're on stage. You can't re-edit something if you don't like it, or you can't cut out the bad bits. It's all there in front of the audience for them to see. So I wanted to go on the road for that reason, to sort of brush up on my technique, because I thought it would be good for me to smell the audience again. And the other reason I wanted to do it was because I just missed the feeling of doing it. It was something I started to feel nostalgic about, and the memory of that feeling was starting to fade. And I wanted to get it back again. I wanted to have that feeling. There's no substitute for doing a live show and the audience are laughing and you're on stage. It's like flying. You know,
nostalgia can often be misleading, though, can't it? I mean,
that's
why I stopped doing it.
and has been. I mean, so much. Sometimes I mean, there's no doubt about it. When I'm in the middle of the show and I'm on the stage, it's blissful. But in the half an hour before the show, when I've got to get trussed up as a woman, which I do, and I have to wear prosthetic breasts and a corset and things that might be fun for some guys, but are not for me. I sit there thinking, what the hell am I doing this for? And why did I think this was somehow romantic, or did I have any kind of sentimentality attached to it? It's a pain in the ass.
And so,
but as soon as I get up there, that just fades and it becomes just a total breeze.
I mean, the show is called, in New Zealand at least, called Steve Coogan Live. That's it's imaginative. Is this a continuation of the Alan Partridge and Other Less Successful Characters show?
I'd say there's 30% of that show in this show. This show is better than the show I did in the UK, because I was able to take the best bits from the last four times I've toured, which were a long time ago, and the new show. I've been able to take the very best bits, and what I did was spent a couple of months molding those into a brand new show. So this show is kind of it's the best show I've ever done, and I don't see that. I don't say that through through any kind of big headedness. It's just inevitable because it's like a greatest hits album.
You get, right.
I've cherry picked it. So New Zealand and Australia are getting the best possible show, and the audience is responding in the way that I want them to. You know, when I was doing the show in the UK, you have to really focus. You have to pull out all the stops to do a good show. This one, it's it's you know, walking on stage, it just goes like clockwork, and I'm loving it.
I'm interested, I mean, talking about your least successful characters, who is the least successful character, the character that you brought out maybe once and it just everyone just looked at you blankly? And
it's not that they weren't successful, it's that they are literally less successful.
But have you over the years, have you had
it's all relative. I'm trying to the character, one of the characters I do in the show, actually, when I did him on TV 12 years ago, got a very lukewarm response. And yet, live, he is one of the real showstoppers. I use him to close the second half, which is the Portuguese singer I do called Tony Farina.
Yes.
When I brought him out, it was the first thing I'd done since Partridge. And of course, they all made comparisons and want things to, people often want things to be the same and don't let things gestate long enough. And I might have made some mistakes in not sort of softening the audience up, as it were, a little bit before you bring a new character in. But that was a character who at the time was judged as having not properly worked.
So you don't have I suppose what I'm getting at is you don't have a garden shed somewhere, you know, in your mind where you've just got a stack of, you know, Matilda, the former, you know, jigsaw enthusiast that never quite, you know, got past the...
No, I mean, the ones that are not totally successful never see the light of day because I strangle them at birth. There's lots of characters I have in my head that never quite... There's an act I always wanted to do called Stafford Baxter, you know, who never saw the light of day, who's just always been gestating there, who's one of those people who speaks in a very well-modulated voice, like one of those British theatre actors.
Yes, they actually sound the same here in New Zealand. They've got exactly the same British modulated voice.
It's a wonderful projection, that even when they're sitting in a restaurant, you can hear them speaking so loudly because their voice is so well-centred. I was going to do a guy like that, you know, he's a bit of a jerk.
Have you ever regretted a catchphrase? I mean, I'm thinking of back in the Alan Partridge. Did you ever think when Alan Partridge's show was on, I could have actually done that show without that aha thing at the start? And God, I wish I had.
Do you know, it's a really funny thing. People ask me about that, and it's such an inane thing. People shout at me in the street from time to time. Not so often that I go crazy, but pretty often. Sometimes there's a phrase that has a comic construct in it, or there's some sort of, it's a punchline or something. It's utterly meaningless. It just annoys people. Shout at me, and I sometimes think to myself, why do people shout that? Where's the pleasure in it? Why did I think it was? Why did I put it in the character at first? Well, what's? It's sort of like it's inane and banal. But when I came up with the character with the two of the guys who I wrote it with, I remember the guy who helped me write the character first, a writer called Patrick Marber, who went on to write successful screenplays. He wrote Closer, that thing with Clive Owen, Julia Roberts and stuff. But he helped me invent the character. And he said to me after we did the first recording, he said, you do realize this character's going to make you, and in a few years' time, people are going to be shouting, aha, at you across the street. And I remember at the time thinking, no way! You think that's going to happen? Wow, that would be fantastic.
Right. Yeah, would it make you more gun shy from doing it again? Perhaps. I mean, you know,
It wasn't like we deliberately said this would be a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
We just thought it'd be a funny because the ABBA song of Knowing Me, Knowing You, aha, that he would say aha to the guest. It's such a stupid thing. It made us laugh at the time. I don't know why, but it did. I think if something like that occurs naturally, that's fine. If you sort of deliberately set about thinking, oh, this catchphrase will catch on and people will say this, it's a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't build a character on a catchphrase. But sometimes something emerges which people latch onto and they like to say, and people come up to me with Partridge and they say, oh, can you sign this? Can you say to Alan? And then they'll quote a line that he said in one episode.
Yeah.
And that's good in a way. It's...
It shows that you're getting through to them, doesn't it?
Sometimes you see characters that other people come up with, and they clearly think if they keep repeating some catchphrase enough, then people will like it. And it looks a little too premeditated. Yeah.
How do you think? I mean, you've built up quite a good portfolio of films across genre, across, you know, different countries. How do you think Hollywood perceives you at the moment?
Well, I think they know who I am, and I think they think I'm an interesting actor. I don't think they think they're going to get rich putting me in a movie. But I'm in a sort of a, in some ways, I'm in a kind of, I'm pleased with the area I'm in some ways, because I'm not, there's no danger of me peaking anytime soon. But the creative community, so the independent filmmakers, have got a lot of respect for me in Hollywood, so they tend to want to work with me. So there's I get that kind of thing. But I think if you want to make it in Hollywood, I remember an agent telling me, if you really want to make it and you want to become successful above all else, you have to make the same film over and over again. You have to play the same character.
Well, you certainly can't be accused of doing that, can you?
No, I can't. And in some ways, that's to your detriment, because you don't get successful quickly unless you do that. And I like doing different things all the time. So if you do different things all the time, people can't latch onto you and go, they don't know how to sell you. So they can't say, this is the guy that wears the funny hat and drops his pants. You know,
it's sort of a career catchphrase, really, isn't it? A way of what you're looking for, I suppose. Is this your first time down here, just finally?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, look, we look forward to seeing you, to seeing Mr. Saxondale and all these characters down here in next month.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to coming. And the show's this year. See Australia as a dry run for, like, knocking them dead in New Zealand.
That's brilliant. Look, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
And Steve Coogan's playing Christchurch on the 5th of May, Auckland on the 8th, and Wellington on the 9th. If you want more information, again, comedyfestival.co.nz. After the break, we head to Wellington to find out the trials and tribulations of running a truly independent music store.